The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome back to the second hour of We the People Radio. Good afternoon. We are chatting about marijuana growing in, well, I'm sure it's happening in other places, but specifically, we're talking about Siskiyou County in far northern California, a county we discuss often on the program, and so you hear a lot about land use issues. You hear all the time from us about farmers and ranchers who are being crushed by regulation and governmental overreach and all these things. You know, one little fish dies in your irrigation ditch, and you're a criminal. And yet, they're being overrun with dope growers from other countries, really. I mean, a lot of these people are not legal citizens. If they live in the country, they live elsewhere. The people have been doing a little bit of recon, I'll say, in the Walmart parking lot. They're looking at the vehicles there, brand new trucks from Minnesota, Wisconsin. Help me out, Sheriff. What other states have you guys seen? I know Minnesota and Wisconsin are big.
Massachusetts, Florida, Arizona. I mean,
they're for
many states, but several more predominantly.
Sure. And for people who think, well, it's just a Walmart parking lot, you have to remember, this is in a town with, what do you have, 8,000 people in Wairika?
Yeah, about 7,500
yes.
people.
7,500 people.
Yeah, we have 45,500 total for the county. Now, that demographics are shifting, so that may be a little higher than that now.
But still, this is the only Walmart in your entire county.
Right.
So it isn't like everywhere else, you know, where there's one on every corner. So you guys are basically being overrun by folks from elsewhere. And go back to the voter fraud thing just for one second so we can tie that up. A lot of those people were registered in Fresno and other places, correct?
Well, we have information to indicate that that some of these people didn't have a valid residency in Siskiyou County. Many of them are associated with other counties. A couple of the people that were contacted by these state investigators, it was overheard by my detectives or deputies that were escorting them, admitted with these two individuals from Sacramento, and they said, "Yeah, I'm from Sacramento, but I want to live here and I want to vote here." And so they're from a number of different jurisdictions. There have been a lot of links to Fresno, is one of the counties, because Fresno does not allow any cultivation of marijuana indoors or outdoors in any of the county areas. And in Butte County, some were from Butte County. They're from many different counties and from many different states.
Wow, you guys are really under the gun. So let's find a county that doesn't have a huge population, that doesn't have an overabundance of law enforcement, and go roll them.
I was over on the coast a few weeks ago, and there was a story on the radio of a couple of guys that were busted driving down 101 in some little sedan. Two guys in the front seat, and the entire back seat was stacked. I think they said they had 600 pounds of processed marijuana sitting on the back seat, and they were from New York. I guess they just went over and made a buy, and they're going to drive back to New York with it. And didn't even get out
right.
of the county.
Yeah, and the thing is here, you could get maybe anywhere from $1,000 to $1,500 wholesale, for a pound of marijuana, because it's high-quality marijuana here. But you send it to some of the metropolitan areas, especially back east, you may get $6,000 or $7,000 for that same pound of marijuana. So that amount of marijuana, that's probably a couple million dollars worth of retail. It's like that 2,000 pounds that we seized on York Road last year. That was could fetch over $10 million, retail. I mean, this is a lot of big money involved.
Sure.
And that's what they're doing is, is they're trying to get as many people moving into the county as possible, and they're infusing millions of dollars. And then they're, you know, some of these people are actually showing up at county board of supervisors meetings saying that, oh, this is, they're calling it the green rush. We're taking advantage of the green rush. You know, this is like the gold rush, and there's a lot of money here, and we'll pay taxes, and we're spending a lot of money in your towns, and this is going to be a economic revival for you. And
yeah, right.
I just want to mention briefly that if you do research, you know, personally, I think it'd be a serious mistake legalizing marijuana for recreational purposes in California. It would be a big disaster, because if you look at what's going on in Colorado and Washington, states that have legalized marijuana, they've had a lot of big problems associated with it. But look at how we tax tobacco and alcohol. You know, we only retrieve a little over 10% of the societal costs associated with the huge societal costs of tobacco and alcohol. And it's going to be the same with marijuana. They may come in and spend a lot of money initially, and there may be some tax revenues generated, but you look at the broken lives and the health issues and the damage to the environment, and what you're going to get is you're going to be paying the bill for about 90% of the societal costs. And I was a drug recognition expert for 20 years. I worked in places like L.A., and I've worked down in the Bay Area, and I've worked the coast, and I worked in Mendocino County, and I've conducted operations in Humboldt County. And the lives that are destroyed, and the families that are disrupted, and the communities that are irreparably harmed, it's not worth the small amount of tax revenues you may derive from this illicit drug business.
No,
it's not good. We have Peter on hold, who has a question or a comment for you, I believe.
Peter, are you there?
Yeah.
Hey,
hey, listen. Hello to all you guys, and particularly Sheriff Lopey. Look, my son's in law enforcement, and from what I know about you, you're my kind of guy, and I appreciate your stand on marijuana and so forth. I'm pretty outspoken about it here. I'm totally 100% against it. Bearing in mind, I don't care if you have a joint in your bedroom of a nighttime Saturday night with your wife. But this has nothing at all to do with Grandma and her glaucoma. According to Rick Simon here, 86% of marijuana people are abusing the laws. First of all, you don't need 12 plants. 2 plants a year give you far more than what you ever need for your glaucoma. It's all about money. And what pisses me off with all the board of supervisors and the cities of Northern California, they have it within their power to say no, to just make it a marijuana-free county or city. But they use the excuse that they're worried about the litigation and all the bloody attorneys here in California. But I point out to you that all these marijuana people and all these homeless people that have increased since the marijuana came into the bloody area here, you know, it's costing us $34.2 million a year in benefits and taking care of these lowlifes. And, so that's a lot of attorney hours.
No,
yeah, I tell you what, Peter, another man of wisdom, because you're absolutely right. I agree with you fully. I did a research paper when I got my graduate degree, at a superior institution, University of Nevada, Reno, and my research indicated that 2% of the marijuana users that have recommendation in California may have AIDS or cancer, and another 3% have serious illnesses that were actually in the original law. And about 95%, and that 86% is a fair estimate as well, really don't have serious ailments, and it's a very much abused law. You're absolutely right. And yes, we do pay the price, because if someone's sitting at home, consuming this high-level THC-laced marijuana, they're developing those health-related problems, and we're paying those costs. And I'll tell you, the cost for law enforcement and for the justice system and for our environment and for the health, especially of our children, it's astronomical. And Peter's right on target.
But listen, I really don't think it's good for society. I don't think it's good for America. You can't have you can't have everybody walking around stoned. I mean, the country just will not exist. And I think Colorado and the people the states that have actually tried it have shown enough. There's enough evidence around that most people are bloody idiots. And they put a communist Muslim in the White House to start with, so they're bloody idiots. And if you look at all the costs that these people, you just can't have society stoned. I mean, as I said, I go back to the city and the county board of supervisors and the city. They can say no to this stuff. Just shut it all down.
Yeah, Peter's absolutely right. Court decisions have continually upheld the right of a county or a city to pass land zoning ordinances to protect themselves. And yes, we can say no, and I think that's very prudent. But, you know, in Siskiyou County, like a lot of other counties, we don't allow the outdoor growth, and we allow 12 plants. And that is sufficient for the vast majority of medicinal marijuana users. But continuously, I've gone to these sites where you have 50 or 60 or 70 or 100 plants, and somebody will say, well, I have a back problem, so you need 100 plants. Well, yes, some of the plants may die. It's, you're right, the attorneys get involved. But, at least our county's taken a stand, and I just hope that we stay with it because we're protecting the health and safety
and really the
economic vitality
business.
And the quality of life of our citizens for years to come. And, Peter, you're right on target. Thank you.
Peter, thanks for calling. We appreciate that. Sheriff, you know, one of the things you
hear from these folks is, it doesn't have an impact on crime. You know, if they legalized it, we wouldn't have all this crime. But, you know, you stop and think about, you have somebody driving down the road with several hundred pounds of processed marijuana. Like you said, that's a lot of money sitting there. What is that person willing to do to make that payday happen? And what position does that put that law enforcement officer in when he walks up to that car door and you've got a couple guys in the front seat that are hauling that kind of stuff? It's not a good situation. Have you seen an increase in violent crime in your county as a result of this?
Well, yes, we have. Marijuana, first of all, some people have a psychotic reaction to it, and marijuana creates more crimes because you have the thefts, the home invasion, you have the robberies, you have the assaults and murders. We've had assaults here that are associated with the marijuana industry. If you ask the Trinity County Sheriff and the Shasta County Sheriff, they'll tell you most of their murders are associated with the marijuana industry. And I don't believe in victimless crimes. I'll give you a quick example. New Year's night, I was driving around with one of my coworkers, and we responded to a call in the local area about a half a mile from where I'm talking to you now. And we had a 19-year-old girl that was allegedly out of control at home, and her mother wanted us to respond. So we respond, and this young, beautiful, intelligent young lady is in a fetal position on the floor of her bedroom. She's 19 years old. She's got a marijuana bong in her room. We had to take her out of the house, took her to the hospital because she was a danger to herself and others. And I talked to her for an hour when she finally calmed down, and she started using marijuana in her early teens, and she's basically, addicted to it. She's tried to commit suicide twice. So you look at all these kids that are consuming marijuana, and even the adults, and studies clearly show that they develop health problems. They're not going to be, typically some may be, but studies show that they're going to be less productive at work, less productive at school. They're going to have a lower per capita income. They're not going to be as successful in life. So what we're doing is we're sanctioning this. The government's sanctioning this drug that is diminishing the capacity of people to succeed. And if they become addicted, adolescents, they have about a 9% addiction rate in Colorado, but since they've legalized marijuana for recreational purposes as well as medicinal purposes, now the addiction rate for adolescents is 16%, 18% in Colorado, and 29, something like 29% of the college students are using marijuana on a regular basis. And 62% of the kids that are in drug rehab in California are in drug rehab because of marijuana.
Oh, no.
So it is a serious problem. It costs us. And in my opinion, cartels are still going to produce illegal marijuana because they're not going to want to pay the taxes. And they're still going to want to provide marijuana to people that aren't going to have it, like kids. And that's what's happening in Colorado. You know, Colorado's being sued by a bunch of different states because the other states are being flooded with marijuana that's being produced in Colorado under the so-called guise of recreational marijuana.
Well, yeah, but it's illegal for yeah. under 18 to smoke it and marijuana.
Of
that
course.
Should have an effect on the adolescents.
We have to take a really quick break. I do want to say someone just posted in the chat room something that was sort of humorous. They want to know, where are all those Canadian wolves when we need them?
Right.
Ties back into some of our.
Well, they're here.
They're here. They're just they're just not feasting properly. So we don't want to advocate anything bad, although that is kind of a fun solution. You're listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. We will be right back.
Will you feel the la la pot pot, give us some pot, forget what you are, you can be what you're not. High high, I wanna get high, never give it up if you give it a try. La la la,
and that's about the kind of music you'll wind up listening to. Who is that, Bob?
That's Neil Diamond.
Sounded like Neil Diamond. I didn't know Neil Diamond did pot songs.
Oh, yeah. Go Neil Diamond, he was an old pothead.
Was he?
Oh, yeah.
Jeez. Got a governor who's a pothead? I mean, we need to
That's actually an anti-pot song if you listen
to it
all the way through.
Oh, it is? Oh, okay. Yeah. So Neil Diamond's not advocating. Okay, that's good. Okay, so Sheriff Lopey, what have we missed? What did we not discuss today? I know there's like a mountain of it, but. What else are you seeing that we need to know?
I think a couple things I'd like to mention is the fact that the majority of Siskiyou County residents know what's going on, and they support law enforcement. They're just fabulous people. But we are really under siege by organized crime that I haven't seen in my 38-plus years of law enforcement. Another thing is what people should recognize is that these promises made by the marijuana industry that that we're going to see some type of economic recovery in our counties is a false promise that will not come to fruition. Another thing is, you know, marijuana that is really not legal in California per se. There's a legal defense pursuant to the Compassionate Use Act of 1996 and the MMP, the Medical Marijuana Program, enacted in 2004. You have a defense if you have a recommendation from a doctor and you have an amount of marijuana that's consistent with your prescribed medical needs. Another thing is a lot of people realize that, marijuana has never been classified as a legitimate medicine by the FDA because the FDA has never sanctioned any type of medication or drug that is smoked. So, it's a struggle in our state, and what I would ask everybody to do is contact your elected representatives, your board of supervisors, your city council, your assemblyman, your state senator, and certainly your congressman. I know that ours are staunch law enforcement supporters, and they know what's going on, but we really have to pay attention to what's going on, because if we can't as a county, and I can't, as a sheriff, enforce the laws and protect the rights of all inhabitants of my county. This is a phenomenon that's really is characteristic of. And I don't want to imply that I'm bashing the media, but the media and some politicians at the national level and even sometimes the state level, they have a tendency to demonize police without looking at the facts. And this article in the and the record searchlight was really hate speech against police. Yeah, you know, questioning my enforcement taxes and enforcing my assistance that was provided to a state agency. It seems like, you know, we can't speak out because we're demonized or vilified by the media, by lawyers, by the ACLU, by the Southern Poverty Law Center. And I asked them, I said, do you believe in putting accurate information out there? And they usually say, yes, we do. Well, you know what? Inaccurate information is getting out there. And it's making it harder for law enforcement agencies and administrators to do their job because the truth is not getting out there, and there seems to be a rush to judgment. And instead of vilifying law enforcement administrators or honest deputies and police officers and highway patrolmen that are out there, drug agents or others that are trying to do their job, why don't you look at the facts first? And like in this case, I asked the record searchlight, did you ever consider that perhaps there was voter fraud going on? So the shift goes away from the law breaker to the peace officer who's enforcing the law. And I see this is endangering lives of law enforcement officers and all peace officers, federal, state, and local. And it's making it almost impossible to do our jobs. And it's also leading to an increase in crime, especially in the metropolitan areas. And that's just my opinion on that.
Well, you know, another thing I think people don't realize is if, you know, it is quasi-legal in California. It is not legal on the federal side. I have personal experience with a fella who had to have a driver's license, what is it, Class B, to drive a truck with air brakes, which could be a big truck, could be a service truck, could be a delivery van. If it has air brakes, you got to have that license. Well, that license is controlled by DOT, which is federal. So if you're out there, you know, you want to smoke marijuana and you have that license, it's going to cost you your job if you take a drug test and don't pass, because you're going to lose that license and you're not going to be employed anymore. So I imagine there's probably a lot of jobs out there that do have federal overtones that, even though you live in California, you better stay away from it.
Right, and you know, that brings up a great point. You look at the DUI drugs, like in Colorado, it's gone up like 100%. The fatal accidents where THC is in the system, both in Washington and Colorado, are exponentially increasing. The number of school expulsions related to marijuana, the number of emergency room admissions, and people are consuming edibles are a big problem too, because in Colorado, as an example, like they use this honey oil, and they may have 100 milligrams of pure THC in a gummy bear or a cookie, and they recommend like 15 milligrams per serving, and people will eat one or two or three of these cookies, and they're doing crazy things, and, you know, people are dying. And people tell me a lot, oh, well, nobody ever died from marijuana. I had a doctor tell me that in Mount Shasta. And I said, well, you know what, you ought to read all the studies, because there are people dying because of marijuana. And in my opinion, it's a Schedule I dangerous drug under the Federal Controlled Substances Act. And you're right, I believe the federal government should step in. And I don't think they should allow recreational use of marijuana. But what's happened is the federal government has kind of, the current administration has kind of laid back, and they very seldom have intervened. Now, we have a great working relationship with the FBI, with the Drug Enforcement Administration, other federal agencies, the Forest Service, and also the U.S. Attorney. And the U.S. Attorney is assisting us with our issues up here, and we have a task force that's helping us to do some other investigations related to the financing of these organized crime groups. But it is a big problem, and it would be nice if, the federal and state, political leaders would step up. But a lot of them don't know enough about it, and they get pressured. I tell you what, when you put millions of dollars into the legalization effort, it's hard for law enforcement to fight back. Every single law enforcement professional organization, including the California State Sheriff's Association, Cal Chiefs, California Police Officers Association, they're all adamantly opposed to any expansion or legalization of marijuana for recreational purposes in the United States because they see the damage it does in their respective jurisdictions.
John, do you find in working with the federal agencies, do you find a reluctance on their part to really step up and get involved and pursue enforcement?
I would say we get excellent support from our federal and state counterparts. The problem is that we don't have enough resources up here. We have one Drug Enforcement Administration agent in Reading. I've asked for additional resources. They are probably going to get another DEA agent in the Reading office. We just don't have a lot of resources. And a few years ago, one of the most catastrophic developments occurred in California when the Bureau of Narcotics Enforcement at the state level, their DOJ, Department of Justice, Bureau of Narcotics Enforcement, was disbanded, and many of our drug task forces. We're lucky in Siskiyou County because we have the Siskiyou Unified Major Investigation Team, which is a Cal DOJ-led task force that deals primarily with, you know, meth and heroin and, you know, cocaine and prescription drugs. And we have a big problem with opioids and heroin, too, and meth in all our communities. And we also have a North State Marijuana Investigation Team, another California DOJ-led team out of Reading that, again, is helping us, you know, in our public land areas. But I think that the federal and state agents are great. They do a great job. They're dedicated. They will help us all they can, but there's just not enough of them, and there's not enough drug task forces, and we need help. There's no doubt about it.
You guys, we need to take a really quick break, but when we come back, I'd like to hear about the money, the influence of the money in your community, because you have really good people who are actually, we'll call them accomplices. You know, they might sell, you know, topsoil or water or whatever. And how does that work? You know, you've got a lot of industry that's been crushed, timber, mining, all that. And so what's available to people is now this...
support.
Yeah, right on target.
Support we've got industry.
Sirens going by. We're going to come back with those answers from Sheriff John Lopey out of Siskiyou County. When we return, you're listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
Sweet Jesus, one told over the line. Sitting downtown in a railway station, one told over the ride. Waiting for the train that goes home, sweet Mary, hoping that the train is on time. Sitting downtown in a railway station, one told over the line.
Some people call me the space cowboy. Call me the gangster of love. Some people call me Maurice, 'cause I speak of the pompousness of love. People talk about me, baby, say I'm doing you wrong, doing you wrong. I'm a grinner, I'm a lover, and I'm a sinner. I play my music in the sun. I'm a joker, I'm a smoker, I'm a midnight toker.
You know, we're lucky we're not all potheads. We listened to all this stuff back in high school. I kind of forgot.
I didn't know what it meant.
Doesn't that bring back memories? I know we're all singing along to the pot songs. I wonder our parents were freaking out. Oh, my gosh. Okay, so tell me about the ancillary financial gain.
Well, there's definitely a surge of, you know, dirt haulers, water trucks, a lot of these areas where this marijuana is being illegally grown do not have, they don't have wells on their property, which is required by the county. And so what you have is some of these people that live in these neighborhoods are besieged by these water trucks, you know, running up and down the roads, causing damage, you know, day and night. They have big trucks hauling dirt. You have well drilling operations that are, you know, drilling wells for some of these cultivation sites. Obviously, you know, you have a lot of, you know, you have businesses cropping up that are providing construction materials and fertilizer and potting soil and containers and, you know, the there's been a surge in, you know, some businesses, especially that sell, you know, some of these folks are buying, you know, like outdoor type portable garages and setting them up and living in them. I mean, there is a lot of business that is being generated, and also real estate. You know, some of the vast majority of real estate agents, I think, are very ethical. And I have a friend of mine that is a real estate agent. If someone tells him that he's purchasing land to grow marijuana, he won't, you know, he won't deal with them. But obviously, there have been literally thousands of parcels of land that have changed hands in recent years, and many of them for the purpose of marijuana cultivation.
And cutting the money off, any potential to do that?
Well, we are, you know, when I talked about other agencies, we're talking to, there's a task force that we've asked for assistance and support from. It deals primarily with financial issues. We are, you know, we just had a briefing from the California Army National Guard Adjutant General, Major General David Baldwin, one of the finest adjutants general we've had in California, and he is dedicated to provide additional resources, you know, analytical support, aviation support. The Guard is involved in, you know, the campaign against marijuana planting. You know, we have the Western States Intelligence Network. I am attempting to get as much support as I can from as many organizations as I can at the federal and state and local level. And to some extent, that has been successful. And yes, there is a possibility of, you know, going after the money. I could just tell you that is ongoing. That is one of our strategies. And our strategy is multifaceted in nature, and we're going to hit them from as many directions as we can. We're also going to do some on-highway enforcement. We're using virtually every agency that has anything to do with land management or enforcement, and also we're using, of course, the planning department or planning department of the county, you know, for the ordinance enforcement, animal control. Yeah, I mean, you name it, and we're using them.
What about, have you seen an uptick in the on the asset forfeiture side?
Well, primarily last year, you know, there has been more money picked up, you know, drug money, illicit proceeds from drug trafficking, because, you know, Interstate 5, and that's another complicating factor in Siskiyou County, Interstate 5, U.S. 97, to a lesser extent, State Route 96, these are all major drug corridors, so the Highway Patrol and other agencies have done an excellent job, you know, interdicting, you know, drugs and monetary proceeds, and in some cases, vehicles. Now, we're exploring the possibility of, you know, seizing property and things of that nature in the event we identify a criminal enterprise. But right now, our main focus is to enforce our ordinance, criminal violations of law, if applicable, and attempting to get voluntary compliance. What we would like to do through our ordinance and through our enforcement is to gain voluntary compliance from these people. It's probably not going to happen because they've arrived and they've manifested themselves in such great force. They're looking at us and, you know, they're laughing at us. They're saying, well, we actually have some of these growers that are looking at my detective sergeant or some of my people, you know, eyeball to eyeball, telling them, you're not taking my marijuana. And it's almost as if they feel they are not accountable to the law. And they certainly, you know, the referendum that we had on the ballot, that was, you know, the T&U measures, those were put on the ballot by marijuana proponents. They were trying to repeal those laws, and they put out a lot of false information, stole a lot of signs, and, you know, did a lot of other things to try to undermine the effort. But essentially, the people of Siskiyou County, the vast majority of them, spoke and said, hey, look, we need to control this problem. And we're not going to discriminate against medical marijuana users. We're not letting this wholesale, criminal, illegal cultivation and distribution of marijuana, take hold in our county.
Yeah, that gets back to what we were talking about earlier. You know, how frightening is it for somebody to walk in on some big, large growing operation that's being
right.
operated by cartels, and you don't even know it, and all of a sudden you're walking into a situation where they're armed to the teeth, and I mean, you're going to be lucky to get out of there with your life.
Right, and, you know, that's a good point because, you know, we're getting these recurring reports of people with weapons, and I mentioned earlier the semi-automatic and automatic weapons fire, people carrying, you know, assault-type weapons, and it does pose a danger not only to us, but what I'm concerned about is we're getting at least 20 complaints a day from citizens who have moved into these beautiful areas of Siskiyou County, and suddenly they're surrounded by illicit marijuana grows. And last year, the people that occupied these areas were not necessarily aggressive or discourteous. Well, now they're trying to intimidate people. They're trying to scare people. They're attempting to, sometimes they close off roads. They're getting vicious dogs. And they're walking up with suitcases full of $25,000 bills and just saying, hey, your land's worth $18,000. Here's a suitcase with $25,000. You take it. It's yours right now.
Just go
and they're
away.
Trying to scare and intimidate people into leaving and moving. And these are good citizens that deserve a quality of life that they expect in a county like Siskiyou, one of the most pristine counties imaginable. And we owe it to them to allow them freedom of movement and at least allow them the ability at least the assurance that they could walk down a road or a street without being intimidated or without, these illegal marijuana sites cropping up all around them. I mean, some people are afraid to go for walks, to ride their bicycles, to have their kids or grandkids out in the neighborhood. Some of them are being threatened and intimidated by, many of these cultivators, and they want them to move out so that they could take over these areas. And we shouldn't allow that.
How big is your department, John? I mean, how many folks you got on the ground to enforce it?
We have about 112 total personnel. We only have about 50 people from me on down, you know, working the field side. And right now we only have about 30 sergeants and below working the field. And we have about 39 working the jail side and plus, dispatch and a lot of our professional staff, we have a little over 100. We've lost about 30% of our personnel in the last probably 10 to 15 years because of budget cuts, and we haven't had a pay raise in 7 years. I mean, it's really tough. We're four positions down right now, and the county board of supervisors did take a strong stance. I allocated a detective to our marijuana eradication team, and I have a detective sergeant. Well, they're gonna triple that. We're going to have three two-man teams operating for 4 months out in primarily in these three problematic areas. So the county has given me additional resources to triple the enforcement effort on private property, this year. So we are better off than last year, and the county's also offered to provide equipment and other resources that we need.
That's good. I know that you guys had a jail measure. I don't know if we want to get into that at all, but that makes a huge difference, you know, even if you can arrest these people, where are you going to put them?
Right. Well, essentially our jail Measure S did not pass. It was a special tax that required 66 2/3 of the voters. Now, the county, the project is not dead. The county is looking for other funding sources because we got $27 million in AB 900 funding from the state. We're trying not to give that up, but we have a $9.7 million deficit due to escalating construction costs. So what the county's trying to do is they may put another referendum on the ballot in November for a 1/4 cent sales tax increase to take care of that $9.7 million deficit, because right now our jail is full all the time. We have nothing but felons, and most rural jails are in that category because of realignment.
Yep.
And because of Prop 47, which rendered, you know, most drug possession charges and even commercial burglaries and thefts, you know, misdemeanors,
you know,
at least
when,
the ones under $950. So we are struggling like other counties, and we hope to keep our jail project alive because we have to give that $27 million back if we don't somehow, you know, fund the jail project.
Which is horrible.
And I got to say, too, Siskiyou County is working very hard through realignment funds we've been provided by the Governor Brown to rehabilitate people. We probably could serve as a model on how we try to rehabilitate people and give them the tools to be more successful on the outside. So we need the jail, but we also try to rehabilitate people, too.
Nice. Well, when we come back, do a little thing on Prop 47. I'm not sure most people know they voted for it, actually. I meet people all the time who have no idea they voted for that.
The Streets Act, which is much the opposite of what it really is.
Which was crazy.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Yeah, they put nice names on things, but they, you know, the facts are often the opposite.
It really is something else. We'll be right back with Sheriff John Lopie. You're listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
From Colombia, she smiled because I did not understand. Then she held out some marijuana. She said it was the best in all the land. And I said, no, 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 I don't smoke it no more. I'm tired of waking up on the floor. No, thank you, please, it only makes me sneeze. Then it makes it hard to find the door. I was gonna go to class before I got high.
Come on, y'all.
Check it out. I could have cheated and I could have passed, but I got high. I'm taking it next semester and I know why. Yeah, cause I got high. Because I got high. Because I got high.
Go to the next.
I was gonna go to court before I got high. I was gonna pay my child support, but then I got high.
No, you wasn't.
They took my whole paycheck, and I know why.
Why, man?
Yeah, cause I got high. Because I got high. Because I got high.
Just more fun things you have to look forward to.
Yep.
The future of America.
Oh, my gosh.
Are you employable?
No, because I got high. ridiculous, but we laughed, but it isn't funny. So Prop 47, what kind of stupidity did we do on that one? It was called what? Safe
well,
Schools
the,
and Streets
Safe
or something?
Schools and Streets Act. This law was passed, and people see this, we're going to make the streets and schools safer. It was really the opposite. What this law did, in a nutshell, was to render drug possession charges misdemeanors. And misdemeanors are, you know, violations where you're going to go to the county jail. You're never going to go to prison. And usually their penalty is less than a year. But imagine you have heroin or cocaine or methamphetamine or angel dust, benzcyclidine, or other drugs, and it's a misdemeanor. And what that has done is essentially, you know, we can't keep these drug violators in jail. Not that there are a lot of drug violators in jail anyway. And then imagine if you could go into Walmart, and as long as you don't steal $950 worth of merchandise, you can wheel the cart outside. And if you're caught, It used to be it was a felony, a burglary, you know, entering a building with the intent to commit a grand or petty theft or felony was a felony, and then grand theft, you know, if you stole a large amount of merchandise, and now if you don't hit that 950 mark, it's a misdemeanor.
Yeah, they just write you a ticket.
Only. And if you steal a gun, you can steal a gun. You can break into a enter a commercial establishment, steal a gun, and as long as it's not worth $950, it's a misdemeanor. And this has been a complete disaster throughout the state. What you're seeing is you're seeing escalating crime rates that we haven't seen in 50 years in a lot of cities in California and jurisdictions. For example, you know, my property crime or nonviolent crime rate went up 10% last year, and a 4% violent crime rate increase. But some cities like Redding, it was something they have like a 48% increase in property crimes. Yreka, I think, was over 30%. I think Weed was over 30%. And I'm not trying to criticize those departments. Those are fine departments. They're great departments. But what you're seeing, you can't keep these habitual offenders in jail anymore. And these laws that are passed, they're not holding people accountable. And people are getting arrested for misdemeanor offenses or like Prop 47 offenses or for misdemeanor arrest warrants. They laugh at you. Well, go ahead and arrest me. And
yeah, we have.
They spend
a couple hours
in jail, yeah, and they're out.
Well, that, you know, and that number I think is low because, I mean, I know in our case, a lot of these crimes go unreported. I mean, we've had two incidents in the last year at our house that weren't even reported to the police. So that's not even on the record.
Well, we didn't know about them right away, for starters.
You're absolutely
right. I mean, this stuff goes on.
Because I go to a lot of statewide meetings, and I go to meetings with the U.S. Attorney's Office every quarter, and you'll have like Fresno. You know, they're reporting crime rates, violent and property crime rates, they haven't seen in 50 years.
Yeah.
I mean, it is very, very alarming, and citizens really should be concerned.
Well,
then when you have jails that are full, I mean, Shasta County Jail, you got a great sheriff there, Tom Basanko, but the jail's always full.
Right.
And then Redding Police Department is one of the best police departments in the region. You got a great chief. You know what? These cities are struggling. And it's because of Prop 47 and laws like that really don't hold the people accountable for serious offenses.
Well,
and drugs, in my opinion, you know, illicit drugs are causing, you know, most of my crimes, and it's a big problem. And now on top of this, the people of California, I hope and pray, do not legalize marijuana for recreational purposes, but things are not looking very good right now. And then you see the national, trends where law enforcement is under siege. I have not seen so much scrutiny, unwarranted scrutiny, directed towards law. I haven't seen anything like this during my 38 years. The only thing close to it is when I was in the Marine Corps during the Vietnam era, when a lot of disdain was directed towards those great soldiers, sailors, airmen, Marines fighting for their country, and they still got a lot of scrutiny from the media and even from some of our fellow citizens. I mean, this is terrible what's happening to law enforcement. And if we make a mistake, fine, call us on it, and we have an obligation to fix the problem and move on. But this scrutiny is being heaped upon us by politicians and by some members of the media. It's just unwarranted, and it's helping to contribute to these crime rates.
Yep,
and
thanks.
Laws don't help.
Thanks, Sheriff Lopey. We have absolutely run out of time. So, voters at the ballot box, you gave us Prop 47 in California, not the nutty legislature. Just don't want to put too fine a point on that. And we appreciate all your work, Sheriff Lopey, and thank you for your service to our country. We will see you on the road.
Thank you very much. I appreciate the opportunity to be with you today.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
And you have great viewers. Thank you for listening.
Thanks.
Thank you.
See you guys next week. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.